is Camacho from Hortonworks, who is going to speak about overview on optimization in Apache Hive, the past, present, and future of Hive.
Okay, thank you. Can you hear me well? Yes. So, my name is Jesus Camacho Rodriguez. I'm senior engineer at Hortonworks. I'm also in the Apache community. I'm also the Apache Calcite PMC chair, Apache Hive PMC member, and I'm involved in several efforts around these projects. And today I'm gonna talk about the work that has been going on in the community to improve actually the optimizer in Hive using Calcite. So yeah, let me start with some acknowledgments. So first, to thank actually the community, the Hive and Calcite communities, because this is a joint effort, and this is actually a world where you see very well actually the benefits that the collaboration between different communities can bring to both projects. And there have been many, many people involved. There are, I think, more than 150 individuals over the span of 3-4 years, more than 40 organizations. So this is a very large effort. And also, yeah, Julian Hyde, because, yeah, I used some of his slides for this talk. So let's get started. So, you know, many of you were already at Alan's talk, so I will just introduce Hive very, very briefly, and I will go into detail just after, but, you know, so this talk is self-contained. So Hive development started in 2007. It is open source in 2008, first as an Apache Hadoop sub-project, and then it became a top-level Apache project. And the initial use case, as Alan said, it was just batch processing, right? So the users wanted to have like a more familiar interface on top of MapReduce, so they wouldn't have actually to hard code some operations such as that were common in their scripts, such as filter, join, and so on. And it was actually running on top of MapReduce. So you can think on it as a translation layer between something that was looking like SQL and MapReduce. But at some point, the community realizes that actually Hive has a lot of value, but they want to take it from, or we want to take it from the batch processing route to more like interactive query processing. And this effort started in January 2013. We can say that it started with Hive 0.10. And yeah, the latest release version is 2.1, and it was released in June 2016. So this is an effort that has been ongoing for almost 4 years. And the renovation of Hive was mainly, we can structure it in three axes. One was improving latency, so allowing interactive and sub-second queries. So this was done actually by improving a lot of the execution internals of Hive, LLP, vectorized query engine, and so on. Scalability, so going from terabyte or being able to handle from terabyte to petabytes of data. What it was done here was basically to improve the algorithms so they will be more efficient and you will actually be able to execute more queries at the same time in the cluster in a more efficient way. And also SQL support, so moving from Hive query language to standard SQL. And, you know, during this effort, there were, as I said, many execution and improvements on the execution internals. And for instance, instead of supporting only MapReduce, now we can run on top of Test or Spark. Improvements such as partition pruning. So, you know, if I don't need a subset of my data, I will not scan it. More efficient join execution algorithms. So not only a wider range of join execution algorithms, but also the ones that were there were improved. Vectorized query execution that, for you, for those of you that maybe they are not familiar with it, it's just that instead of processing row by row, what I will do is to take a batch of columns from multiple rows and execute the same operation on them at the same time. And like that, I will be much more efficient, and it's especially useful for analytical workloads. and yeah, also integration with columnar storage formats that are necessary in order to execute the queries this way. Or LLAP that was introduced also by Alan, live, long, and process, basically having persistent daemons that will actually answer queries really fast. But in parallel with these improvements for the execution internals, there had to be also some development in the optimizer itself, because no matter how good your execution algorithms are, if you give Hive the ground plan, the ground join ordering, for instance, and so on, you will not be able to exploit them, and actually these queries will become bottleneck in the system, right? So yeah, huge benefits for declarative query languages like SQL. I mean, this has been done in relational database management systems for almost 40 years. And yeah, especially useful if queries are generated by automatic tools, where you have actually a lot of optimization opportunities. And it's challenging because it's a very complex problem, and there is a trade-off between the time that you will try to optimize the query, and finding the optimal query itself, or the optimal query plan, sorry. And it helps exploiting Hive capabilities. So without it, we cannot actually take advantage of all the underlying improvements like the efficient algorithms, static and dynamic partition pruning, column pruning, and so on and so forth. So let me start by giving an overview on the optimizer. So this was before Hive 0.14, before this effort on the optimizer itself started. And what you would have in order to parse the query and to optimize the query were these steps. So you have your SQL query, it would go through a SQL parser that would generate an abstract syntax tree, so your AST. You would annotate, or the semantic analyzer would annotate this AST with some additional information. And then it would go through a logical optimization phase that actually was done over the AST. So that was one of the main shortcomings, because at that point you will miss many optimization opportunities, because it's not easy to optimize on an abstract syntax tree. It's much easier to do it on the plan. And then you have kind of physical optimizer that actually was mixing logical and physical optimization that would generate some tune plan that would go to the execution engine. And after Hive 0.14, what we did was actually introducing CalSite. And now the changes is that here, after the semantic analyzer, you will actually generate a CalSite logical plan. And it will go through the logical optimizer phase, which will generate an optimized logical plan. And then you have the physical optimizer, which should actually do only physical optimizations for real, not like before that it was kind of a mix. So as you can see, actually, a lot of work that we have been doing is also to bring some of the optimizations that were here to the logical optimizer. And yeah, finally, you will have your physical plan that will be executed by test, Spark, you name it. So this is a list, not exhaustive, of features. I'm not going to go through all of them. The takeaway here is that there are, with each release, there are a lot of improvements that go on, and we are tightening the integration between CalSite and Hive, and this is bringing benefits to Hive. And also the other takeaway is Hive 2.0, because in Hive 2.0, not only we enable by default CBO or the optimizer, also LLAP came in, and it brings new challenges, because suddenly with LLAP you have sub-second queries, and you know it's not anymore your long-running job of or your long-running query of 30 minutes that you don't mind to spend 30 seconds optimizing it. It's actually a sub-second query, so you have to take care, and it's not only anymore about how effective the optimizer is, so how you find the most optimal plan, but also how efficient it is, so how fast you can reach this plan. And there have been, from Hive 2.0, there are several efforts actually to make it more efficient or to plan queries faster. And there are several discussions on things that we still can improve and will try to improve, and I will talk about them at the end of the presentation. And also, yeah, I didn't want to leave aside because, you know, there are also many, in the same way that optimization will influence execution, there are also many other aspects that influence the optimization. And I didn't want to, I wanted to mention the statistics because, especially when we are talking about cost-based optimizer, it's very important to have precise statistics. It's very dependent on having good statistics. And there have been improvements, once again, in three axes, collection, estimation, and retrieval. So for collection, faster computation, having a statistics per partition instead of per table, that if you have skew data, this is quite important. And also, you know, some also usability improvements. So instead of having to analyze your tables manually, now you will actually automatically gather in the stats while you are inserting data in your table. So that's quite good. And then, yeah, estimation. So that's also very important, how you estimate the intermediary results of a query. So there have been improvements there based on number, distinct number of values, minimum, max. So we right now we consider that the you have a uniform distribution, but you know there are also some improvements that we are trying to push towards the direction of having actually more precise estimates. And yeah, retrieval. So we have made improvements in the logic to merge the partition statistics, and also multiple ongoing effort to improve the Metastore scalability, because you know we realized when we saw the use when we were checking the use cases of Hive that a lot of times the bottleneck was when you have many partitions, especially the bottleneck is retrieving the data from the Metastore. Okay, and you know the community has been discussing on how to solve this. ORM is object relational management layer, and what it does basically is a layer of abstraction, so you can use multiple databases for the Metastore. Okay, so you want to get rid of that because it doesn't produce such an efficient queries, but at the same time you don't want to go into a nightmare of supporting, for instance, 5 different databases from Hive. So you know, it's kind of a trade-off, and there are discussions going on. Some efforts have concentrated on using Apache Edge base for the metadata. This is, you know, you obtain very good results, and the good thing also is that it is an Apache project, so you help, like developing the community. Also, there are some efforts by other people that have just redesigned the underlying schema. So they studied the schema of the Metastore, they redesigned it. In this case, it works on top of Oracle DB. And, you know, it was very impressive because for some queries, they recorded improvements of 90%. And this patch is out there. It didn't go in. But, yeah, there are still discussions in the community to see if it's the right direction to go in or not. Okay, so let's go into detail in the logical optimization. So, as I said, logical optimization is carried out by Apache Calcet. So I will give a bit of background, but there are, I think, like 3 or 4 talks in this conference that will talk about it, so that's really good. So top-level Apache project since October 2015, so rather recently. And basically, Calcet is not a processing engine. It's a query planning framework. And what it provides to you are like the blocks in order to build your planner, okay? You can, and these blocks are so relational algebra operators, transformation or rewriting rules, and it also has its own cost model. But the cool thing is that it's extensible, right? So you can plug your own and use also those. You can combine them, basically. And yeah, this is also nice. So you can use it standalone. So it comes with a GADBC server. Or you can embed it within your system. So that's really nice. And also wide adoption by the Apache community. So thanks to everybody, because that's how actually the project is pushed forward, right? So Apex, Drill, Flink, Hive, Kylin, Sansa, I think 8 to 9 projects already use Calcet. So very briefly, the architecture, okay? So you have the query planner at the center, and then you have, like I said, the operators, metadata providers that are used in order to provide the, for instance, the statistics about your data, and rules. Actually, it says pluggable rule, but all these elements are pluggable, basically. You can use the ones that come by default, or you can actually add your own. And then you have different ways of interacting with the system. So you can use it standalone. So in this case, you would have your GDBC client, and you will emit queries against Calcite. And you can also integrate with it if you have a data processing system such as Hive in different ways. So you can basically use the SQL parser and validator that it provides, and then you will go in and you will plan your queries. You can also use Expression Builder. This is useful in case you want to use the operators, but you don't want to, it's like a more user-friendly interface, right? You don't have to do new. It has a builder, and it will actually be able to kind of chain the creation of operators. Or you can just create the operator expressions themselves, and yeah, you will provide that information to Calcite. And yeah, this is actually how Hive interacts. So actually we create the operators ourselves, we actually extend them with some information that maybe we need on the Hive side, and we also give the statistics that we collect from the Metastore, and we have some rules that are taken directly from Calcite, but also some rules that are specific for Hive, which makes sense. Okay, so about the query planner, you know that green block that you saw at the bottom. So how it works, very briefly. You have regrading rules that are basic blocks in which you define a pattern that you are going to match in a plan, okay? And then a transformation that you want to apply on this pattern. So for instance, you could match a filter on top of a project, and you could generate a project on top of a filter, something like that, right? So basic blocks. And then the planner is the responsible to apply these regrading rules. So the planner will build the graph. So you have one node in the graph for each operator in the plan. Then each node is a set of alternative subplans that actually produce the same expression, so they are equivalent. And then that set is further divided into subsets depending on the physical properties of the data. So think that maybe you are producing the result for an expression, but you know, some of if you execute it in one way, it will be sorted by column A, and if you execute it in another way, the data will not be sorted at all. So these kind of things. And the planner logic, basically what it does is that it will have a priority queue. You will put there, or the planner will put there the matching rules. It will apply the transformations, and it goes on and on for a fixed number of iterations, or until the cost does not change. So in Hive, actually, we use it in both ways, depending on whether we are doing rule-based optimization or cost-based optimization. And in the case of Hive, the cost is cardinality-based, the cost estimation. So as I said, multi-phase optimization using Calcite, that's what we do in Hive, both rule-based and cost-based phases. And more than 40 different regrading rules. I'm gonna run through this with an example. I don't want to go one by one, but you see the typical ones that probably you've seen in relational database management systems, pushing down the filters, pushing down project expressions, inferring new filter predicates, and so on and so forth. So yeah, example of cost-based optimization. So yeah, I pick joint reordering because it's the one that, you know, I think it's difficult to explain maybe, but it's the one that will bring more benefits to the system. And it's actually probably the original reason, or one of the original reasons why they wanted to integrate Hive with Calcite. That it was doing this kind of optimization. So in Hive, the algorithm can generate Bushy join operator trees. So a Bushy join operator tree looks like the one on the right, where both inputs of a join operator can receive results from join operators. And this kind of plan is very good for parallel execution engines. Why? Because you can actually parallelize the execution of both inputs, and then you will actually execute the join on top. So if you have enough resources, you will be able to get like the maximum utilization of the cluster. And what the algorithm itself, what we use is we combine exhaustive search and greedy algorithms. So what is exhaustive search? So it's just finding every possible plan for the joints that you have in the plan. Now the problem is that this is not practical for a large number of joints, so this explodes this problem. And then there are also there is also a greedy algorithm that what it will do is to build the plan iteratively, and what it does is to use a heuristic in order to choose which joint it will add next. So what we do here is a kind of a mixed approach. So we use both algorithms, in which first we build the tree using the greedy algorithm, and then we apply some regrading rules in order to find different plans and to try to find the optimal one. But still, it's a heuristic algorithm. But you know, in our experiments, we have seen that it works quite well. Yeah, I mean, following with example, and just so maybe you see it more clear with a real example. So if you have two star schemas, right, where you have two fact tables, sales and in inventory, that have a lot of data, and you have some dimension tables like customer, time, product, warehouse, that actually will filter on those fact tables. Here you can see the plan that you could obtain that is bushy, right? So first you will filter all the sales with customer and time, and in parallel you can filter the inventory with warehouse and product, and then you join the results. Now another example, in this case, rule-based. What I did here is choosing four rules related to predicates in filters. So you can see actually how they can interact with each other till you find the optimal plan. So predicate pushdown, so pushing the predicates as close to the scan operator as possible, so we filter the data as soon as possible. Predicate inference, so in this case you have a filter predicate and you want to infer new predicates, and they might be even redundant, but they will help you during the optimization phase. Predicate propagation, so think that, for instance, if you have a join, you can infer from the right hand side of the join to the left hand side, the opposite. And predicate folding, meaning that if you have like duplicate expressions within a single predicate, you will be able actually to remove what is what could be removed, and actually to follow also the expressions to find the constants for some variables. So we have this SQL query, okay, very simple SQL query, joining sales and address, okay, an equi join, and then some filter where you are saying that the country should be US and the ID of the address should be a certain address, or the country should be US and another ID address. And this is actually the logical plan, right? The two scan, join on top, filter, and project, because you only need the quantity. And how the optimizer will work, it will do the following. So first it will apply predicate pushdown. So you push the filter from above the join to below the join, and you can only push it to the address, right? Because the filter predicates are defined on the columns of the address table. Then you can actually apply predicate inference, and you infer two new predicates, two new conjuncts for the filter. Basically, these ones are redundant. So if you remove them, you will still have the same semantics. But you will see why we need to add them, because by doing this, actually, we will be able to propagate them to the other side of the join. That is precisely what we do now, right? Because if you have here that ID should be one of these two, and you have here an equality, you know that on the other branch, you can only have also these two values. So that's predicate propagation. And then we continue, predicate folding. So you have here, you have country that is US. If you know that country has to be US, you can actually infer it in the expression above, and that becomes true, and that's removed. And now you have also two duplicate expressions. You can continue the folding. And this is the expression that you get at the end. So as you can see, I mean, at the beginning, maybe you thought because the predicate is only expressed on one of the inputs, that we could only push it to the right side. But actually, you can see that we end up filtering on the left-hand side also. This is the kind of optimization that it allows us to do. And the good thing is that you just provide your building blocks very simply, and the optimizer will do the rest of the work. Well, what about physical optimization? So, well, physical plan, it actually determines how your query will be executed, and it determines which algorithms you will use to execute each of the operations, how you will partition and sort the data between operators, so this MapReduce or test word, like the reduce operations. And yeah, it should find actually additional optimization opportunities. For instance, you might realize that some of your data, because of how the execution engine is doing a group by, for instance, will be sorted by the columns of the group by. So then actually you don't need to sort your data again. So you will remove one reduce operation. So you can actually do still these kind of optimizations depending on your execution engine. Right now it is completely done in Hive. But as we are tightening the integration between Hive and Calcite, we want actually to move more things from one to the other. And one example that I will talk later on is about join algorithm selection. Okay, one very brief physical optimization, because otherwise I'm not gonna have time to talk about what is going on with the optimizer right now and future improvements. So dynamic partition pruning. So also Alan talked about this. This is a runtime decision to cancel a scan of partitions depending on subquery results. The thing is that for some, it's called dynamic because there is some partition pruning that you can infer statically from the query, but in this case you cannot because you're actually joining cells and time on the ID. Okay, so if you know the IDs of the time, you could actually prune the sales relationship, right? But you don't know them statically because you are not selecting on ID. You are saying that the year is 2014 and that the quarter is Q1 or Q2. And this is actually how in business intelligence applications, how actually the schemas are designed. So this is a very common way of expressing your queries. And then you get this physical plan, right? Where you have some scan, the filter, then you will have the reduce sync on that side that will actually gather the records with the same key, and then you will perform the join with sales. And basically what dynamic partition pruning will do is that you only need to, you will transfer here the IDs that reach the reduce sync, and like that, you will only read the partitions that you need. And by the way, I forgot to mention, although it's on the slides, that this is actually a special case of a more common, if you're familiar with relational database management systems, semi-join reduction, where you actually pre-compute some results in the tree, and then you will filter the results somewhere else. And yeah, probably also there will be some logic that will be moved at some point to Calcite and will not be done here. Okay, some performance. Actually, I didn't want to stop too much on this because there have been actually the major performance gains we got at the beginning when we integrated the beginning Calcite and Hive. And this is normal because now everything is like more incremental process. And you can actually go, so yeah, like Alan was saying, disclaimer, Hortonworks, okay, you can go to our blog and you can check some measurements that we have done. So what I did in my case was I took last week Hive 2.1, I took 12 random TPCDS queries, and you know, you can see that in the worst case scenario, we got a performance gain of around 7 to 8%, which is not bad. Then there are some of them with the optimizer on that we get huge gains. So actually I check about these two, what was going on there, and it's actually a combination of several things. So first of all, bushy trees, like I explained, right join ordering, dynamic partition pruning. So it's basically everything that I have introduced, you put it together, it clicks, and then you get these gains. For some others, obviously, there is almost no performance gains. This can also happen, depending on the shape, actually, that the query will come in the system. Okay, so roll ahead. So what I have talked about till now are things that actually are already in the latest Hive release. These are things that maybe part of them were there, but it's still ongoing work. So yeah, extended cost model. So as I said, the cost-based optimization is really dependent on the cost model. Right now we have cardinality-based cost model, and there have been discussions on improving the cost model so it actually reflects better the execution cost. So this extended cost model takes into account CPU and I/O for the operators, including network transfer. And the thing is that, you know, it will, let's say that we are convinced that we will obtain better results, and that's why we are doing it. But it has some let's say, cons, that you will have to, you will have actually to create one cost model like that for every execution engine, right? So the cardinality-based model was really straightforward because you obtain quite decent results and you don't need any tuning. This one, you will need one for each execution engine. Right now, we have implemented it for tests. And then it also requires some tuning parameters because if you are actually reflecting the actual execution cost, you need to say, for instance, in your depending on the configuration of your cluster, how much is a CPU atomic operation? How much is a local disk byte read and write? And HDFS byte read and write? And network byte transfer? So you have to actually to plug these parameters, and probably you will have to play a little bit with them. The good thing is that when you plug this in, you are actually doing join algorithm selection in Apache CalSet. And this is so much more powerful because suddenly you know which algorithm you are executing, you know how the records are coming out, in which order, and so on. So actually it will help us to find in an easier way the optimal plan and the optimal join ordering, taking all these things into account. So this is work in progress. It's already there. And yeah, we are trying actually to make it GA, so. Another work in progress that is very interesting, and it relates also to the talk, with the talk I will be giving this afternoon about Druid, materialized view support. So for those maybe that are not familiar with materialized views, materialized view contains the results for a query. And materialized view support, the declaration is already in Hive. It's already implemented. And this actually, the good thing about materialized views, so one thing is that the user will be able to rewrite his queries manually, but that's not what we want. What we want is actually to accelerate query execution, doing it automatically, right? So you define some views, you have them in the system, and then when the query comes, you will actually do automatic rewriting using these views and answer the query much faster. And it has cool things. For instance, it benefits from LLP because, you know, a view is basically a table. And if you can cache a table, you can cache a view. So it's cool, actually, you know, we kind of implemented this, and some guy from the Hive community that actually happens to work at Hortonworks just took it and tried it without letting me know anything. And suddenly he said, ooh, this is great, because suddenly, you know, we are caching automatically intermediary results. So this is so much better than just caching the tables themselves. Also, it gives the possibility to use other systems to store views, like Druid, and powerful side effects. So think that you are actually materializing a subplan. And if you materialize a subplan, suddenly you have precise statistics about this subplan in the query. So this is very useful in order to get better statistics for our planning, for our planning phase. Okay, very quickly, what is out there right now? We can have a table with this data. And this is how the syntax looks like, right? Create materialized view, the name of your view, and the query itself. In this case, it's just a scan with a project on ID and discount, and you want to get those records whose discount is greater than 0.2. And yeah, we can actually, we added actually this syntax enabled rewrite because rewriting with views is very expensive. So we just want to give the possibility to the user to enable or disable the rewrite for each of, for each of the views if he wants to. So yeah, how it works, you have this also another rewriting rule in CalSec. So as I said, this basic block. You have to take care, so we have some early pre-filtering techniques because you don't want to try to rewrite with every view, or you know it might take very long to plan the query. And right now, in the current implementation, we support project filter scan. I say current implementation, the patch is under review. Hopefully it will go in this week. So that's what we support. So just an example of what we can do right now, you have this query that comes later where you are getting discount greater than 0.3. And you have this query plan, and there you had your view, right? That was filtering on 0.2, and you had the ID and discount columns. And what you can do is to realize that actually the results of the query are contained in the view. So we already support containment in the filters, and you will just rewrite it using your view. So now you have a scan over a view, and you will filter a little bit more your results because you just need a subset of them. And road ahead, okay, so we plan to support partition materialized views. It's not there yet. Extend the automatic rewriting because that's where the power comes from. We want at least to support project filter join aggregate. So we're still missing join and aggregate over there. And then, yeah, we will need to explore actually materialized view maintenance as it fits very well in there because like that we will be able actually to kind of incrementally update the content of our views. And then, you know, some databases, what they do in order to be able to use the views and to guarantee some kind of freshness guarantees, they can specify a time window in which you say, okay, if my view is outdated for more than 6 hours, do not use it. Otherwise, you can rewrite using it. And we reach the conclusion. I've tried to explain like improvements that we've done in Hive and using CalSite to improve the optimizer effectiveness. So you know finding better plans, but also efficiency. So how to actually find actually the plans better. So this is an ongoing effort in the community for almost 4 years now. There have been many contributions to Hive, but also to CalSite. So we were sometimes implementing things in Hive because maybe we wanted to have them first in the Hive community, but we have always tried to bring everything back to the CalSite community so all the projects that use CalSite can benefit from it. And there is an interesting road ahead for both communities. I mentioned some topics that we are working on, but there are also discussions about query decorrelation optimization, materialized views, query factoring, things to try to make the, as I said, the query planning more efficient, like plan caching, parameterized plans, and many more. So please join the discussions. If you have an idea, try to bring it up, push it forward. Let's see what we can do. And yeah, finally, so you know, especially because we are at ApacheCon, and you know, I'm Apache CalSite PMC chair. So yes, the importance that the CalSite community thinks that this framework has for all the Apache projects. So there is an explosion in the number of data processing systems. This is not going to change. The organizations continue investing heavily on creating new data processing systems for. They are very tailored towards a specific problem, and they will be able to solve this problem better than anyone else, and this is okay. But it is valuable to take actually what is common out of all these systems and to have a framework that can work with all of them. So this obviously reduces time, end-to-end development time, because you can use Calcet straight away and you don't have to sacrifice, for instance, having a planner or an optimizer. But it's also important to ensure correctness, consistent semantics between the different systems, and so on and so forth. So that's all, and yeah, I invite you, if you want to come later on to my talk on Hive and Druid, I promise there will not be much overlapping between these two, so that's it. Yes, sure. Questions? Yeah.
Yes. We are any user of Hive.
If you use?
We use Hive.
Yeah.
Any user of Hive, as many people use Number, yes.
Yeah.
Now, I definitely see the value of using Calcite on top of it. Definitely.
Okay.
Is it difficult?
Is it difficult? No, it's not. But there is a but. Suddenly I'm PMC chair for a very short period of time, and when the previous PMC chair went away, that was Julian, he actually asked in the list, okay, what can we improve in the list of Apache Calcite, okay? And there were a lot of people that mentioned documentation. So, you know, as I said, you have many ways of interacting with the system, which is very cool, but sometimes people come and if the documentation is not, documentation in the code, by the way, is very good. What I mean is documentation for, let's say, kind of beginner, right? I have my own system, I want to use Calcite. Okay, how do I use it? So there, I think, as a community, we need to improve. I think we are already doing an effort, you know, coming to conferences. So for instance, you have several members of the community that will be introducing Calcite to other members of Apache community. So that's already a good starting point. And probably we have to do a better job there on the website and so on. But it is not difficult, really, to use Calcite. It is not difficult. I mean, it all depends. If you want to use it standalone, it's super easy in the sense that, you know, installation process and that's well documented. If what you want is to interact with the system and extend it, then maybe you will need more work, obviously. But I wouldn't say, I mean, I cannot tell you more. What I would suggest is go to the website, try it, and also the good thing is that the mailing list is very active, and I'm sure that if you have some questions and you post them over there, they will be replied real quick. So, you know, just go and try it. I think it really has a value for the community. So. Yeah.
So the guys from Databricks have been building some SQL support on top of Spark. Could you talk a bit about, you know, what are the differences, what are the similarities?
Well, I mean, differences. So, you know, they have this catalyst. They have this catalyst optimizer, in fact. So, you know, to me, and this is also personal opinion, they are rebuilding many things that maybe they could reuse for another project. But you have to think also that maybe because of the features of the language that Spark uses, right? Actually developing, for instance, the rewriting rules is very simple and very compact. But I think they will hit more problems when they want to do something more complex like join reordering. I mean, for constant folding, for instance, the rules, if you see them, they are very elegant because, you know, it's the way they can be defined. But then for more complex stuff, especially cost-based optimization, let's see actually towards where they are heading. I cannot compare because I have not gone into detail. I know maybe the basics. I have maybe listened to their talks about Catalyst, but I have not, for instance, checked into detail the code base to tell you, you know, how they compare to us and so on. It's true that this effort was started very recently in Spark, so, you know, for sure. Well, as a user, I mean, you can use SQL on top of Spark. As a user, I guess it really depends on your use case, right? So you will take your, I mean, because at the end, for instance, what we show are benchmarks that, you know, it's, for instance, what most of the industry is using, but or needs. But As a user, I think what you should do, especially with this open source code, is go install it yourself, try it for your use case, and see what works better for you. Maybe, you know, depending on your scalability needs, you are happy with Spark, or you would go more in the direction of Hive on top of tests, and so on and so forth. So I would just suggest, and from the optimizer point of view, the same. Maybe you have, you know, if you are writing the queries yourself, maybe you can tune them a bit in order to fit better, even if they cannot optimize some things. But if you have, for instance, a tool that will auto-generate your queries, well, you cannot do that. So maybe you want a more powerful optimizer. So, you know, I would suggest that you go, you try. I think, for sure, both approaches have advantages and disadvantages. So, yeah.
You had a slide about physical query optimization.
Yeah.
So how much of that is feasible in to be used in streaming engines and when the data source is unbounded?
How much of the physical optimization? You mean the physical pure Hive optimization?
I'm not specifically talking in terms of Hive. So I'm from Apex.
Okay.
And we have recently integrated with Calcite. And we are just trying to use more and more features.
Yeah, okay, so yeah, you mean actually what we are trying to move into Calcite.
Mm.
I mean, you know, right now what we are trying to move is basically the join algorithm selection and join reordering, I mean the integration. I don't know if you have, in Apex, you have joins.
We have joins, but it so, just, the thing is we have unbounded sources like Kafka. And when that comes into picture, something like the example that you gave, where the IDs are being passed to the scan, the other end of the scan.
Yeah, but that's Hive. That's not really, I mean, yeah, but that's not Hive. That's the thing, that's Hive specific. I mean, how you could model this in, and I don't know if it makes, yeah, I see your point, because the problem is that you mean that, for instance, you will be able to read your sources only once, something like that.
Yeah.
Well, what I would do then in this case, thinking quickly, is that, you know, as I said, this is a specific case of semi-join reduction, right? And semi-join reduction is a logical optimization. So basically what you will do is to pre-compute some results and to filter some other in some other places in the tree depending on these results. So I think what I would do then is, you know, you get this plan where you have applied semi-join optimization, and then the decision is of the execution engine on how it should actually execute this. So if you're telling me that these expressions are common, if you could recognize this, maybe depending on the size of your results, it's worth to pre-materialize them. I don't know. I mean, I don't know your specific use case. Maybe we can discuss more offline.
Yeah,
but
sure.
Yeah, I guess something like that could be done, right?
Sure.
Trying to separate actually, that is actually what we should do, trying to separate both levels and find the right level of abstraction. That sometimes is not easy, of course. So.
Yeah, sure. Thanks.
Yes.
Do you happen to know, is there any plans to improve explain plan functionality to make it more human readable?
You mean about the optimizer itself? I can share it with you, so send me an email or with anybody. So basically, there are multiple posts at the Hortonworks site where we explain, basically we take as a reference TPCDS and we explain actually the kind of optimizations that we implemented and how they impact the performance of TPCDS. And then, yes, if you want to go really more into detail, you will have to go to deep dive in the Apache Calcite community and Hive community. Probably in the mailing list there is also information, but you know, if you're interested, just throw me an email and I can do some filtering of some references and send them to you. No problem. Yes?
Well, this obviously depends on TES.
Yes.
And what's in your cloud? There are Hortonworks, and you promote this. But the issue is, like I mentioned, sometimes we don't get to choose where we run. And we have existing data lakes where other users install for Cloudera, for example, or other deployments. And they might be reluctant to install Tez over there. So do you have some?
Well, I mean, first of all, so the logical optimizations, most of them, they can be applied equally to processing tasks on Tez or Spark, okay?
Oh, really?
And then there is some, it's true, so for instance, the extended cost model. So there, when you get a cost model that you try really to reflect as good as possible the execution cost, there is no way around it. So, you know, for instance, in our case, because we work more with tests, obviously we have focus on the extended cost model for tests. We are not doing effort on extending it for Spark, but it is extensible. So there is an interface because, you know, that's how you do it in the Apache way, right? So there were some discussions. There is some interface that is extensible. If the Spark people or somebody that is interested in Spark wants to implement this interface in order to benefit from this cost model, they can do it. So that's what we can do.
How heavy lifting is that going to be?
How feasible or how?
How much of a heavy lifting is that? A lot of work to implement.
Well, that
is that simple. Is that question? Is that how simple it would be, or is it considerable effort?
I think, you know, if these are people that are, so I assume that these people that are familiar with Spark, for instance, it should be quite, you know, a bit of work, formalization of the cost of every operation and so on, but it should be straightforward in the sense that, you know, once you have the architecture there, it's saying, okay, how much is a sort merge join? How do I compute the cost? Actually, which operations I'm doing? So I'm doing a partitioning operation, a sort operation, and then a merge operation. So, and then you model each of these atomic operations, right? So how much work? I wouldn't be able to tell you. This depends on the engineers that they put on it and so on. But I think if you're familiar with the execution engine, you can do it. And what we can do is actually provide the interface so they do it easily. So that's what we try to do in any case.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.